NW248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. CBS News projects former President Trump will win the New Hampshire Republican primary, beating and taking aim at former U.S. Ambassador and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley.
This is not your typical victory speech, but let's not have somebody take a victory when she had a very bad night. She had a very bad night.
Thank you for the love, New Hampshire. We're going home to South Carolina.
Nikki Haley vowing to move on as she takes second here in New Hampshire, but it is important to note that the battle ahead is even more uphill. New Hampshire provided a very favorable electorate for Nikki Haley. 45%, according to the exit polls, identified as independent voters. These were voters that she was targeting.
That's CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns reporting. CBS News projects that President Biden will win the New Hampshire Democratic primary with write-in votes since he wasn't on the ballot. Mr. Biden spent today in Virginia, where he talked to supporters about abortion rights and went on the attack.
Let there be no mistake. The person most responsible for taking away this freedom in America is Donald Trump.
Today, we lost one of the true legends of CBS News and of all journalism, Charles Osgood. He died peacefully in New Jersey at the age of 91. CBS's Steve Kathan remembers.
Charles Osgood was frequently asked which he preferred, working as a radio or TV journalist. The answer? He liked both, but
I've always thought of myself as a radio guy who does some television.
For Osgood, radio was the theater of the mind that allowed listeners to create their own images.
The Oscar nominations have been announced. CBS's Jen Clark with some of the nominees.
Oppenheimer leads the pack with 13 nominations, including Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Actor.
Billie Eilish received her second Oscar nomination for Best Original Song for the movie Barbie.
Lily Gladstone, star of Killers of the Flower Moon, became the first Native American nominated for Best Actress. Leonardo DiCaprio, though, was left out of Best Actor. Concerning news about the measles virus, CBS's Elaine Kahl.
Millions of parents across Europe are being urged to get their children vaccinated against measles. The World Health Organization says the number of cases in the region was 30 times higher last year than the year before. In the U.S., 9 cases in Philadelphia have health officials worried measles may be making a comeback.
Boeing says its 737 factory teams in Renton, Washington, are holding a quality stand down on Thursday to take part in working sessions focused on quality. It comes as some of the company's planes have been subject to inspection after the mid-air blowout of a door plug on an Alaska Airlines flight. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers voted to amend a bill to ban abortion after 14 weeks on Tuesday. The amendment allowed exceptions for rape and incest and requires doctors to make reasonable efforts to preserve the life of a fetus during a medical emergency. The bill got a public hearing on Monday where both Democrats and pro-life activists railed against the bill. Governor Evers has said that he would not sign the bill if it made it to his desk. President Biden will be back in town on Thursday. He plans to talk about his administration's efforts to rebuild the nation's infrastructure in Superior. Wisconsin and Minnesota are getting $1 billion to replace the Blatnik Bridge connecting Superior to Duluth, thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure bill. The president's visit comes after Vice President Kamala Harris visited the Waukesha area on Monday. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks have fired their head coach. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Breaking news. The Milwaukee Bucks fired their new head coach, Adrian Griffin, this afternoon after just 43 games into his first season as an NBA head coach. There had been some up and down performances by the team recently, losing to the Cavaliers last week by 40 points in Cleveland. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski broke the story.
Yeah, I think this was an agonizing decision for this Milwaukee organization. They were very fond of Adrian Griffin. They gave him his first head coaching opportunity this offseason, but they looked at where this team was how it was responding under Griffin, that they have such a tight championship window with Giannis Antetokounmpo, certainly the Damian Lillard trade, you know, which happened after they hired Griffin as head coach. And they made a decision to make the change.
Assistant coach Joe Prunty been named interim head coach while the search is on for a new experienced head coach to take over the Bucks. Doc Rivers being mentioned. Again, the Bucks firing their head coach today, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, some areas of fog. There could be some patchy freezing mist in spots, lows in the upper 20s. And more of the same for tomorrow. Cloudy sky, areas of rain and fog, and highs into the mid-30s. Showers likely on Thursday, warming to the upper 30s. Current temp is 30.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you so much for supporting AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Life can be hard. Sometimes it feels like there's no answers, like there's no way out. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Patchy fog overnight with a low of 30, then Wednesday cloudy with a high of 36. Vinaigrette can add the perfect complement to your next home-cooked meal. Taste test their wide selection of oils and vinegars, and they'll bottle it for you right on the spot. Vinaigrette is located at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Check them out at vinaigrettemn.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon, supporting honest Native news, stories, and events from Natives themselves. Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Hey, we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler of Minnesota. And I did stop myself from saying Senator. You were watching. I was like, just wishful thinking. And then you don't have to campaign as much. You're in here, and it's great to see you, and you have a couple fun events coming up, and it's just great to have you on here. And I want to also say a big peeny geeky too when I am on vacation when you come in and host a show. That's really awesome, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's always fun to take over sometimes and bring my guests on and kind of talk about some of the things we're able to do in the work, and allyship really was the big key component of that conversation. So it's always nice that you trust me with the mic and the show, for sure.
Well, you are one of the best guests, and we don't have you on a lot because you kind of make me look bad. So, you know, I'm still the king of ums, and yeah, Haley's laughing too, going, he's not lying. But you are a great guest, and we have a good time. And the information and the, you know, listening to the shows that you're on, it's just like, wow. You're awesome. And, you know, someday you'll have a podcast and we can promote that here. And it'll be exciting because you have a lot to say. And, you know, with your community, our community, and also what you do for the state of Minnesota and all over Turtle Island.
Yeah, it's crazy. We were just talking about it's been 4 years of this like radio relationship. And I've really fallen in love with the radio and how it communicates back to our communities and how it's, you know, we're very storytelling type people by nature. And so I've really found a fun liking for radio. That's for sure.
You do great. And I can't wait until we did years ago when you first ran, we did a show called together with Heather.
Yeah, I tried that. I realized quickly how much work it takes, you know, to put a 1-hour show together to get guests and to get things organized and make sure they show up and that my calendar didn't, you know, get away from me. And so that was really fun. It kind of launched my whole idea of maybe doing a podcast, you know, at some point, and really highlighting not only the work that I do, but, you know, I run in really amazing networks, and we have a lot of people that are breaking glass ceilings, and we talk about how hard that is, but how important it is for the next generation to really see us and know the work that we're doing.
You know, I really am excited about this coming up election for you, and also the national one coming up, because I got to remind my Gen Zers, like Haley here, is that we outnumber them. We just have to engage our voters, our base, and register new voters. And those are the two things that are going to put us over the top again.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things when it comes to voting that I think is good to remind Minnesotans is we did the Restore the Vote Act, which means individuals who are incarcerated now have the ability to register to vote, which I've always fought for that. I mean, I've had relatives that have been incarcerated that I don't necessarily believe that that's a reason why they can't engage in democracy. And so making sure that everybody registers and understands that their voice is value, and that it's, even though it's just one, it's crazy because I grew up in a world that my dad was like, well, we're just one vote. You know, do I really need to show up? And the more that I get engaged, some of these races, Robert, are like 10 or 15 votes are the spread, or, you know, the margin of win. And so it really reminds you that in some of these local votes and some of these, even my election, you know, it comes down to just a couple votes. And so you and your friends and your network really do matter. And it does make a difference when you show up.
Well, we've hijacked you. We only were going to have you on for one segment. We're going to have you on for two. But Heather, I'm wondering if you could, one of the main reasons why you're here, why don't we want to bring that up a bunch of times in the next two segments. Why don't we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So one of the things that I have to remind everybody is, as a House representative, we're in election cycle every 2 years. So it feels like we're always campaigning, which means it costs a lot of money because, you know, campaigning is more than just the lit that we put out. It's to help offset, you know, the costs so that we can do events, so that, you know, we have the phones to make the phone calls and all this different stuff. And so this is kind of the time of year that we know who's retiring. And I do want to give a shout out to Jamie Becker-Finn, who's the chair of Judiciary. She's actually announced her retirement, and she was huge for me as a mentor and a relative, really, in this work. But what then also happens is those of us who are running again really announce our reelection, and then we get to have parties to, you know, gain volunteers. But mostly it's to do fundraising, because we raise tens of thousands of dollars for these campaigns. And it's really important to get our message out. So I'm having, actually tomorrow is my first reelection campaign party back in Moorhead, because I serve District 4A, which is Moorhead. But also knowing the work I do is border to border Minnesota. And so we're launching next Friday. The second is when I'm having my city's reelection launch over at Makwa Coffee, which is Jamie Becker-Finn's coffee shop.
Yeah, I've been there, and we'll try and maybe get Haley over there, or Heather as a reporter during the show, and then I'll jump over in my you know, my war pony and get over there in the Roseville suburb there.
I vote for
Haley. Fun.
Over,
yeah, that would be a cool show. Maybe we'll have to do that.
Yeah. I think we should. I think it's not a think. I think we have to do it, because then it's nice, too. You can talk to other legislators similar to what we did when I had the show, is that, you know, it's been really amazing to have Native legislators at the table. But one of the things we've been able to do is educate and build relationships with our other members to prove that, you know, allyship is really a big part of how we get things done. I can't carry all the Native bills. Leash can't. Jamie Becker-Finn can't. And so in the House, we've really done a good job at making sure taking care of our tribal nations and urban Indian communities is really a far spread effort across the entire caucus.
Wow. You're really good on the radio, huh, Haley?
Oh, absolutely. I've been telling you this for every time she comes on.
Like, wow, she's going to replace me. What the heck? It is all about relationships, and everything is, and we have our allies, and, you know, we have our allies listening to us all over Turtle Island now. I mean, we're on Civic Media all over Wisconsin. We're on 18 stations there, and, of course, the Twin Cities here. And then, you know, Facebook Live, we get, you know, 5,000-6,000 people sometimes watching us on Facebook and YouTube. So we have our allies that are really interested in what you're doing and what us as natives are thinking. And also people all over the country are looking at us too. And you know this, and we talk about that a lot here, of the successes that you guys have had this last session.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, it goes back to education for me. I talk a lot about my time as an Indian education liaison, and my other hat with my business, Two Feathers Consulting, is that, you know, there's been so much hate in the world towards us. We look at systematic oppression, the way this government has tried to dissolve us. And I really, truly believe that we eliminate hate through the opportunity to educate. And so what we've been able to do with the legislature and to get some significant things done is not only be in a trifecta with a party that really believes in supporting our tribal nations, having three of us in the House, one in the Senate, but also taking the time to do more than just write bills. Like, we really sit behind the scenes and deeply educate our colleagues so that they understand, because you and I both know the K-12 system hasn't necessarily taught us all the things that we should know. And though we're starting to implement some of that now, some of the biggest decision makers didn't get that opportunity for education. And, you know, education's a lifelong deal. And so I do think that it's been really nice to just educate our way into making really powerful decisions.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. There was a lot to unravel what you just said there, or unfold. We will talk a little bit about that. But hey, we got like a minute before the break here. Can you give everybody the information here on next week and this week to come to the fundraiser and where it's at?
Yep. So in Moorhead, you have to RSVP for location. That's just security things. And then next Friday on the 2nd, we're 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Makwa Coffee in Roseville.
Awesome. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. And we have, you know, we always have special guests, but we really feel like our niece here, Heather, is a special guest. So we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over. But there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test. They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
I love that saying. I'm going to put that on T-shirts and sell it and put some like applique or something on there. And we love the support from the Native American Community Clinic, Dr. Stately and their crew. And also, Dr. Stately is a guest pretty much every Monday, unless his kids are doing some hockey stuff every Monday. Hey, we're here with State Senator.
No. knew you were going to do it. Take it back. Close. Take it back. Not a senator.
Governor Heather Keeler, State Representative Heather Keeler of the Moorhead area. And we really we're really happy to have you on and discuss things in general. But just to be here and be a good relative. And, you know, it's funny, you were talking about 4 years ago when we were doing the Sunday symposiums all over the country. And that came about. For me, it was kind of a brainchild of like all these people I know and what are they doing about COVID?
Yeah.
It was crazy. And yeah. I mean, we'd have 10,000 people watching us on Facebook.
It was one of the coolest things because like while we were stuck in our house, you know, I decided to run in February and then middle of March, this pandemic hit. And it was like a really powerful way for us to connect with our people and to make sure that everybody was okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we were seeing such high levels of, you know, a lot of harm in our communities and we were losing a lot of our elders. Mm-hmm. But then we also saw some of our reservations really step up with a vaccine and help their communities and stuff. And so it was a really nice way for us to connect in a very isolating time. I remember meeting some candidates from Alaska and now to New Mexico that I, you know, even now when we're in real life campaigning, I don't get those types of connections. So it was a really beautiful thing that we were able to do in a really hard time.
Yeah, maybe we should fire it up again on Sunday.
I agree.
I know we have a 7 o'clock hour special for us on Native Roots or on AM 950, I should say. So if we want to broadcast on the air and also go Facebook Live, that's something we should talk about. Because I think what was important too, and when you're on a lot too, and your group that you know that you own Two Feathers and. We talk about mental health, and I think it was really important then that we were all checking in because, you know, you couldn't campaign like normal either then. It was crazy.
I feel like my campaign my first year was so different because, one, it was over the phone.
Yeah.
You know, I really didn't believe going door to door was even an option because the health of my community was the priority. But, you know, the conversations were, do you have access to food? You know, who are you talking to? You know, make sure that our elders were safe and that our kids were safe. And so it was like really getting to know my community in crisis, where now it's like a little bit more policy driven, but I always go back to food insecurities. And, you know, one of the bills that I'm carrying this year, I'm really excited about because it's SNAP is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that access to food is really holistic health. If we don't look at what we put in our body, and I know you and Wendy talk a lot about that, you know, it impacts how we feel, our health outcomes. And so it's one thing to give, you know, medicine or white man medicine, but it's also, I think, more important to understand what we put in our body.
Absolutely.
And so learning that in the pandemic and how important food was, access to food, now it's so expensive. And so taking those conversations and really helping them craft the policies that I continue to carry.
Wow, absolutely. I'm excited. I know this isn't a bill season, right? It's more of
it's a policy year, and then we do have some bonding. We spent a ton of money last year, and you know, we're still kind of getting that money out into the communities. But I'm a policy nerd. I really think that, I mean, money obviously helps a lot of things. We're in deficits in a lot of areas. I'm a huge advocate to end homelessness, address food insecurities, and culturally mental health access border to border. But at the end of the day, it's some of those policies that are intertwined that actually create the barriers. And so I like to nerd out a little bit and look at, you know, those deep policy barriers and try to address some of that, you know, like absences in school and making sure that kids have food. And if you go to college, you still have access to food, different things like that.
You know, I being a former educator, and we've talked a little bit about this over the years. I feel like, you know, I was on the St. Paul Parent Committee as a teacher, and I'm telling you, 56% does not float with me when it comes to graduation rates. And if our white allies were at 56% or other schools, they would be on the news every day and it would be red alert. But it's like, oh, well, they're better than, you know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago when it was 26%. And I'm just going, this is not, you know, we have to meet our students and our kids where they're at, and it's not working.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the things I loved about being a liaison is it wasn't just about what's your math score. And when I did my practicum for my master's degree with educational leadership, I went out to my community and asked them, what are the barriers to academic success outside of academic rigor? And I've said it many times, the top three things were lack of representation. You know, my district in Moorhead is 99% white teachers, yet we have 42 different languages spoken in our district, which tells you we're very diverse. So the representation matters, not only the people that you see at the front of the classroom, but the languages that you're hearing, what's in your curriculum, what's on the walls, what you celebrate.
Yeah.
But homelessness and food insecurities. And, you know, some of us struggle with that on different levels. We look at banking relationships. We can't go into the bank the same way that some other people can. You know, some of us are only a generation or two out of boarding schools,
right,
and what that did to us. And so I agree. We have to meet people where they are, and we really have to address that. You know, in COVID, we did see an increase of graduation rates with our Indigenous population. And I really think it's because we allowed the flexibility for mm-hmm. students to show up, you know, for their education when it worked for them. Because often, like, our high school students are helping offset the childcare costs so mom right. can go to work.
Oh, absolutely. And there's other things, too, because I we'd get substitute teachers in and we'd discuss some things. And we'd try to compare the suburbs to the urban city here of Minneapolis and St. Paul. And I would just say, hey, you know, see that kid over there that you want to fail? He doesn't know where he's going to sleep tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big difference to how people are learning in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I said that when we had an emergency food bill on the floor, and then we had a big homelessness package on the floor. And I said to every adult in the room, if you don't eat, you're hangry and you don't make the best decisions, right? You know, you either had breakfast, you bring something for lunch, or you had a shower this morning, you know where you're going to go lay down at the end of a day. And when you don't have those basic spaces, how can you think about math? How can you think about, or even what you want to be when you grow up? Because it clouds all of the rest of your judgment when you can't eat and you don't have a safe place to stay.
And it's not a race, too. I feel like there's a lot of pressures that are unneeded. I was a late bloomer. I know Wendy was a late bloomer when it comes to that. But just staying connected and people being there, like yourself as a mm-hmm. liaison or as a teacher, meet people where they're at. And that's part of politics, too.
Yeah, we talk a lot about it takes one adult in a child's life to really make a difference. And we hear that a lot in the athletic space,
right?
You know, one coach or whatever. But I know in my 12 years of working as a liaison, I was that one person.
Right.
And that's why in this role, and I'll say it here, I invite youth groups to come. You know, it's interesting. Our very first year, we'd have youth groups, Native youth groups come, and maybe one or two kids would show up. And now we have groups of 20, 25 yeah. looking to come. And I know for me, I prioritize those kids coming in because they do have to see us. And mm-hmm. they do have to see, you know, sit in the seat that I sit in on the house floor, know that Peggy Flanagan sat in that same seat before me, that we have to be visible and we have to be able, you know, as a public service, we have to be able to show our youth that this is a possible path. Because when they grow up in a world that they don't see us as teachers, as lawyers, as doctors, I think subliminally that tells us we just don't belong in those spaces. And so we have to show up. We have to be visible. And that's the one thing that I take a lot of pride in this work, is making sure that our kids see us, engage, and know that this is a possibility for them as well.
You know, Anna, before you were elected, so I didn't have a chance to do this, but, you know, when Peggy was running around as a representative and then she became lieutenant governor, I was still teaching then, and we'd be in... because I, in St. Paul, had the first all-Native homeroom and at Harding. And then it opened up the next year where we had four of them all-Native. But I have our students see somebody, like you just said, that looks like them doing stuff that is unimaginable mm-hmm. to them at the time and not.
Yeah, one of the cool things, remember last when we got sworn in, we did that huge round dance
yeah.
in the rotunda. And it was crazy how hard that was to pull together. And then once we did it, it's like, of course we should be here. Our drums should be here. Our medicine should be yeah. here. You know, we showed up and it was a blizzard, but it was still yeah. really full that, like, we belong here. And there's pipestone up in the top of the rotunda. And I talk all the time wow. about what does that mean? You know, that's mm-hmm. the blood of our people as a decoration in the Capitol, which is quote unquote the people's house. And so just kind of showing up in those spaces and saying, like, you can't tell us that we don't belong here. We busted through the glass ceilings and here we are.
Well, Heather, I want to put you on the spot here real quick.
Okay.
We only have 2 minutes, but the spot that I'm going to put you on is there's two things I want you to say. And the second one is your event again. But the first thing is, do you remember what you said at the Capitol a few years ago when you told your kids that you would never I would never leave you?
Yeah.
And I've bastardized it, and I'm wondering if you remember what you said, because that was so powerful. That's the thing I remember the most, And I'm getting a little teary-eyed right now because of how powerful that was with the MMIW
situation. Yeah, it was when we were establishing the office for the murdered and missing Indigenous relatives. And I was kind of... It was after a lot of media happens, right? And they always make up stories about us saying like, well, we chose to leave right. or something happened. And I remember telling my oldest son, who's a senior now, if something ever happens to me, don't let them tell you that I chose to leave. I would right. never leave my family. I would never leave my kids. Something isn't right. And don't let this outside media narrative tell you any different. And I know I'm not alone in that.
Yeah, that was so powerful. And then again, we got 15 seconds here.
Next Friday, Makwa Coffee, 4:30 to 6:30. Come support. Financial donations are always lovely, but also volunteers and just, you know, the emotional support is really needed in this work.
Well, be there. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And thank you, Pina Gigi, Heather, for these two fast segments. Jeez, it's great to see you. And thanks for being on Native Roots Radio for the last 4 years.
As always.
That's love awesome. It. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID-19. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov.
Become a teacher and ignite change. Join the St. Paul Urban Residency Program to become a teacher in just 15 months. You can earn your master's degree and teaching license from the University of St. Thomas while earning a $30,000 stipend, single health care, and dental benefits. As an added bonus, next year's cohort, all residents will receive $20,000 towards their tuition. Apply now. Applications due February 28, 2024. Visit spps.org/sutr.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
In the upper right-hand corner to apply. That's mostax.com, M-O-H-S-tax.com, mostax.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Patchy fog overnight with a low of 30, then Wednesday cloudy with a high of 36. Vinaigrette can add the perfect complement to your next home-cooked meal. Taste test their wide selection of oils and vinegars, and they'll bottle it for you right on the spot. Vinaigrette is located at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Check them out at vinaigrettemn.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, thanks, Haley. We have a guest on, Doreen Lanoux, and we're going to be talking a little bit about All Nations Rise and Indigenous Visioning. Excuse me. I was all excited there. We had State Senator or State Representative Heather Keeler. Sarah, I said it again. Shoot.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to welcome you, Doreen, and welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Right on. Awesome. Hey, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what is All Nations Rise and Indigenous Visioning for our new listeners?
So Indigenous Visioning LLC was established in 2017 by our president, CEO Barb Faber, who has many, many years of experience working in Indian country and with early childhood and child care programs. She started Indigenous Visioning in order to bring the tribal voice to state and do some national work also that affects Indigenous communities. And then in 2021, they established All Nations Rise as the nonprofit agency connected with Indigenous Visioning. And we were set up to strengthen tribal communities, both rural and urban, by promoting and enhancing high-quality early childhood programs that support children and families through a cultural lens.
Yeah, and that's really important. And we've had Barb on the show quite a few times over the last 2 years. And it's really exciting to hear about this and to remind our listeners about this great thing that you do. I mean, to create positive childhood outcomes is what you guys do, and it's so good to be focused on that.
Mm-hmm. I would love to ask, Doreen, how long have you worked personally for All Nations Rise and Indigenous Visionings?
I actually just started in September, so I'm relatively new to All Nations Rise.
Oh, that's cool. You got another question, Haley?
I do. Well, yeah, just kind of on the topic of childhood development, I myself was a toddler and infant teacher for a few years right out of college and then some work in high school. So I love working with kids, and I think just early childhood development is so important, especially for our next generations. I would love to know just kind of what sparked this fire and drives you specifically to work with children and their development.
Well, I made a career change in September. So I've come from a background of working with our tribal community college and then working with our tribal workforce center for years. And one of the main barriers for participants and students was lack of childcare. So Barb and I used to work together years ago while she was running our White Earth childcare program. So when the job came up, I was excited. It was an easy transition for me into the program, and I was hearing so much good work about Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise. I was so happy to be a part of it.
Wow. Hey, Haley, I'm wondering if, before you ask your next question, if you could just pop out the website so people can look it up and find out how they can get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can check out more details at indigenousvisioning.com/AllNationsRise. And Doreen, you're the FFN program coordinator, FFN standing for Friends, Family, and Neighbors program. I would love if you could tell us a bit more about that program and what that entails.
Sure. So the Family, Friend, and Neighbor Childcare Network comes from actually a statewide network of FFN programs that are funded by Minnesota Department of Human Services. And our program specifically deals with Indigenous people, and there are other programs that serve Indigenous people as well, but we're one of them, and we serve anyone throughout entire Minnesota. And we call it Family, Friend, and Neighbor because most people who are having a lack of childcare in their area use families, members who might be grandmas, aunties, and friends and neighbors to watch their children while they go to work or school. So that's what this program specifically caters to.
That's amazing. And I think, too, I think you answered my next question, which was if this was a program that was offered all across the state or just in urban metro areas, but it does cover the 11 tribal nations as well.
Yes, it does. And we are in our grant information, we do say that we like to serve the urban areas as well. So Minneapolis, St. Paul, Duluth is specifically mentioned, Moorhead. So there are areas that we like to specifically contact, but anyone in Minnesota that is Indigenous and serving Indigenous children are eligible to sign up for the program.
Okay, so is there an age requirement then? So it's probably someone above 18 who would be able to enroll in this program?
Correct. They do need to be 18, and they are all unlicensed child care providers. So there are, of course, non-licensed program caregivers as well as licensed. But we, again, cater to those that are not licensed, and they serve, they are either Indigenous care providers or they serve Indigenous children.
Okay. I think when looking at the data and programs needed in our community, specifically the Indigenous community across the state, what was like the main point and or like the aha moment, like, oh, this might be something where we can supply people with resources in this area?
Again, that lack of childcare is huge, and there are very limited numbers of licensed childcare providers in each community, especially the tribal communities. So they are using their family members, friends, and neighbors. And so we wanted to provide support for them. And especially after COVID, many families, even more so, are choosing to go that route instead of going to licensed childcare.
Right.
Wow. You know, what else do you feel like, and Haley, great job on asking the questions here. I'm still flabbergasted over State Representative Heather Keeler being on earlier, but great questions. So what do you feel like, we only got a few more minutes, what you need to tell our audience out there and let them know about your organization?
So the biggest thing I think that we didn't mention yet is what kind of services we provide. We allow them to network with other FFN providers and get questions answered from each other. And we do training. We do learning kits where that we send them out shipments of educational and cultural items that may be beneficial. And the biggest thing that we at All Nations Rise do is a mini grant program, where if they register as an FFN for our network, they take an online training. Once they finish that training, they're eligible to apply for a mini grant of up to $1,200. And that's to assist them with early childhood educational materials and cultural materials in their home, just as a early childhood classroom may have.
Oh, wow. That's extremely helpful just with the resources. I know supplying the workbooks and even just toys and stuff that are age appropriate for those young ones is so important during those developmental stages. Doreen, we're here again with Doreen Lanoux with Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise. Just a couple more questions here. If people have questions about this program, friends, family, and neighbor program, childcare, how can they get a hold of you?
My phone number is 218-850-4803. They can call me if they have questions. I also have an email address, Doreen Lanoux, and it's spelled L-A-N-O-U-E at allnationsrise.com. And you mentioned the website, but we also have an All Nations Rise website. So it's found, the FFN information is found on both of those websites.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. And I know over the years, you guys have people that were once clients and are now working with you and teaching our young ones. And so it's really exciting that, you know, you guys have really given it away to keep it over these past few years. And Haley, I don't know if you have another great question before we end this segment, but let her rip.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Anytime when we're talking about working with kids, I love asking other caregivers, what is the most rewarding thing for you while doing this type of work?
I have been with the program, like I said, for a short time, but I'm envisioning that the beauty of it all will be when we get to make videos of all the kids playing with their cultural items and reading their Ojibwe books.
Wow.
Yes.
That does sound cool. That does sound cool. Well, hey, let's wrap it up. Haley, I got the bumper music going on. Maybe shoot out that website again. And what a great update from Doreen.
Yeah, absolutely. You can check out more at indigenousvisionings.com/allnative, all nations rise. And thank you so much, Doreen, for being on with us today.
Thank you.
Wow, good job, Haley. Awesome questions. I just got to say this real quick before we go to break. Joe Mauer has been inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
He did make it a
Cretan. Well, the first year of eligibility, which is amazing. My idol as a kid, Harmon Killebrew, took 4 times to get votes, 4 years to get in. So congratulations. And I went to high school with his mom, so that's the connection I have, and I love baseball. Hey, up next, we have Trish Cook, hopefully, checking in about the big show coming up, right, Haley?
I hope so. More with Trish Cook next.
We'll be right back.
As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving, getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our Native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! I didn't hear Trish howl. Wow. Hey, Trish Cook, how's it going?
Hey, everybody. How are you? Good to see you.
Great to see you.
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good, good, good. Hey, the last time I saw you performing was at Minnesota Rise at the IDS building, and you did an unbelievable great job of emceeing that event. Really, really impressive. It was awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That was a really fun event. It was so cool. We were on the top floor of the IDS, and everybody was dressed, looked great, and we had Kara Jade at our table, and our lieutenant governor was there. It was a who's who of everyone. It was really cool. American Indian OIC. It was great. I appreciate that, though. Thank you.
That was great. I snuck in there at Native American Community Development Institute.
Yeah.
To sit with those guys. But hey, we got some important news I want to get to right away. You guys are back. Let's talk about the event coming up.
Yay. Yeah. We're going to be at the Parkway this Friday, January 26th in South Minneapolis. And this time around for a night of comedy, it'll be Deanna Ray Standing Cloud, who is a Red Laker. Johnny R., also a Red Laker. And then we have a guest from out of state, from Montana. We have Donovan Archibald. And then myself, I'll be closing the show this time.
Well, you know, you've had two big shows the last few years, and all I've heard is just great things, sellout crowds. People are really excited, and it's good to get the word out here and get those tickets early. How can people get tickets?
I appreciate that. Thank you. So I just heard from the theater that we do have a low tickets available now. So if you want to get your tickets before the price goes up at the door, I believe they're $20 right now, and that's not with tax. And you can get them at theparkwaytheater.com. And then if you buy them at the door, of course, it's a little bit more. So you can save your money, save a couple bucks, and get your tickets early.
So we got hours of comedy, and Trish, you're anchoring the show. That's got to be exciting.
I'm really excited about it. Yeah, it's going to be really fun. And, you know, I have a strong affinity for the Parkway Theater. It's my favorite theater, and I grew up in that theater watching independent and art house movies there. And it's nice to be there and be on the stage. And it's kind of like it's a great show. I mean, it just feels cool. Last year, we had a really fun vibe and fun energy, and it really kicked off the year in a really good way, I thought. It was, you know, and excited to be back.
Well, Haley and I are going to try and get there Friday. And yeah. It's funny that you say that about the Parkway Theater. I think the last time I was there, they showed Harold and Maude.
And, oh, my God. Yes. I don't know if you know this, but I had a relative of ours was the owner before Pepito's bought it. So he had owned it for almost 40 years, maybe 45. Whoa. He had started working there as a teenager. His name is Bill Irving. Still lives in the neighborhood. He bought it. He worked there as a teenager. And then there was a new owner there who wanted to turn it into an X-rated theater. And Bill was mortified in that neighborhood. So he bought it. He bought the theater. Only job he ever had, only thing he ever did, loved movies, loved all of it. And then when he was ready to retire, he sold it to his next door neighbor at Pepito's. That's Joe Manjaris. And and then after Joe sold it, it's now in the hands that it is now of the big group. And they are really able to bring it to life and like the magic, I think, that it's had for people like me, but now everybody can enjoy.
Right.
You know, they've got the seats are all repaired. They're reupholstered. The sides of the theater have been done. The original Art Deco lighting is really magnified right now. It's beautiful. It's really cool.
And it's really cool, too. They have an old time camera or not camera. What a projector out in the front.
It is. We actually, I'll tell you a secret about that camera. That was in the basement of the theater for many, like decades. And when Joe Manjaris got it, he really wanted to see what could be done. And he had some guys try to put it together, piece it back. I think that it looks great. It weighs as much as, I don't know, like a Chevy. It is dense. however, I did have one of the old projectionists, like the real projectionist with the film, which they still can play at the theater. They have the platters to do that. So it's really cool. But one of the old projectionists said that they had put it together incorrectly. So there's something wrong with it. I don't remember what, but, you know, a real camera nerd would be able to figure it out. But it's gorgeous. Yeah. It's not going anywhere. It's like, it is so heavy. It's ridiculous.
It's a million pounds. It looks like a space capsule. I mean, there's no way anyone can take that. But it's cool. It's an iconic little thing out there, and it's kind of revival of the neighborhood theaters that I grew up in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really fun.
All right. Well, we only got a few more minutes here. That's really talk about the show here. And you guys are back, the Indian Way Comedy, and it's spelled N-D-A-N-D-N, which I like that spelling. Ho-wa.
I did a show last week, and they were having a hard time pronouncing it, and I finally had to just say, you can just say Indian. And they were like, oh, my God, I didn't know I could say that. It's right there. So.
I had problems with that. It must be my colonized thinking. But John Roberts, Trish Cook herself, Donovan Archibald, who's a guest comedian, and then we have host Deanna Ray Standing Cloud, and just a and hilarious.
We don't know if Donovan's going to bring his guitar, because sometimes he does comedy with guitar. Wow. So I don't know yet. I haven't heard. So it could be a whole thing.
Well, we're excited because we're traditionally storytellers, and we're natives are very funny for the most part. Ho-wa.
I think that's right. I mean, we have to laugh, right? I love there's one meme that I keep telling people about, and maybe you shared it, Robert, but it said, if you took everything away from natives, we'd still laugh at you. just reading that made me laugh, because I was like, yeah, no, I've actually seen that happen. Like, we're always going to have that. So I guess we win.
Yeah. It's like, if we don't pick on you, then we don't like you. But if we're just staring at you, then.
Exactly. You know. Yes. That's part of our good medicine, I guess.
It's crazy. And then, I think the timing of your comedy shows is awesome. Natives are in the forefront of movies, television, and comedy. And we have our local comedians, and you're bringing in an outsider. So we'll all have our arms crossed, ready to make them laugh. Make us laugh, outsider.
Yeah. So yes, that would be a great way to welcome him here. Let's do that.
So Minnesota nice of us.
I know. Yeah. He's probably played in Butte, though, so he can handle our Southside crowd.
He's probably played behind a cage, at those bars,
Exactly. I don't know if you've been to Butte, but...
Same kind of thing, huh?
It's dangerous. So, old abandoned mining town. He'll handle our crowd well.
We're out of time. We got 30 seconds here. Give it one more quick promo.
Indian Way Comedy this Friday at the Parkway. Get your tickets now before they're sellout. So thank you so much. Hope to see you Friday.
Right on. We'll be there. Hey, thank you, Big Dina Gigi, Trish Cook. If you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
The AM 950 2024 calendar is still available, and there's still time to take part in the brand new thank you. Become a sustaining member of AM 950 with a recurring monthly payment of $50 or more, or make a one-time membership donation of $250 or more, and not only will you receive the AM 950 calendar and the AM 950 tote bag as a thank you, but you'll also be invited to an exclusive AM 950 thank you, a meet and greet with me, Matt McNeil. The meet and greet will be happening soon, so you have to sign up now. For more details or to sign up to become a member, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
Did you know Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken airs 5 nights a week at 10 p.m.? That's 5 nights of talking about ghosts, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. We're talking about the paranormal every Monday through Friday with some of the most trusted names in the field. Join us and step into the unknown with Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken, Monday through Friday at 10 p.m., only if you dare.
Come see the Train Chimp. It's the Matt McNeil Show, 3 to 5 p.m. weekday afternoons, right here on AM 950 KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
AB News, I'm Ben Thomas. Voting ends at 8 Eastern in the New Hampshire primary. Sagar Magani looks at the contest for the Republican presidential nomination.
At a polling place in Hampton, Nikki Haley celebrated an early lead.
It's amazing to get the first 6 votes in the country, and Dick will not.
Haley's hoping to pull off an upset of...
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News special report, the New Hampshire primary.
CBS News projects Donald Trump will win the state's primary.
We are going to win this. We have no choice. If we don't win, I think our country is finished. I do. I believe our country is finished.
A Trump voter on why he wants the former president back in the White House.
What keeps me supporting him today and what's drawn me to him is that he's not a part of the normal establishment.
The former U.N. ambassador and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley finished second, but she says she's staying in the race.
Thank you for the love, New Hampshire. We're going home to South Carolina.
The Republican primary in South Carolina is scheduled for a month from now. CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Tony Evers delivered his State of the State address Tuesday night. He said that in order to address the state's workforce challenges, the legislature needs to address the child care crisis in Wisconsin. He has repeatedly called on Republicans to invest state dollars into child care providers across the state. Without it, he said that over 2,100 child care centers across the state may soon close. A new study says more people graduated from college between 2010 and 2020 and increased their earnings by $14 trillion. People are doing better across society, but some racial groups still lag.
What we have here is a race in which everybody is running faster.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.